Good morning. The first reading this morning is Psalm 131. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. And the second reading is from Luke chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked him. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it."
Good morning. Good morning. As we turn to God's word together, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can meet with you in your word. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that as your word is opened to us, you'd speak to us from us. And as you speak to us, you would reveal more of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask this in your name. Amen. Well, I do turn to that passage in Luke chapter 18. It's in the service sheets, or if you've got a Bible to hand, that'd be even better. We live in, I think, what is one of the most child-centered cultures in all of human history. Just think about how we value children. You know, parents, obviously, they want what's best for their children, and that's good and right. As a society, we want children to thrive, don't we? And therefore, during lockdown is a good example. What do we find? Well, we're rightly concerned about the welfare of children, the diet of children, particularly through the summer holidays, the education of children, how we can catch them up so they're not lagging behind. Children are very important. Even just one little snapshot of that would be children in need each year. We value children. I guess even outside of lockdown, that have all the opportunities that we can have for children. To be able to have experiences for them, opportunities for them to be able to enjoy. I mean, there aren't enough evenings in the week, are there, to be able to do all that you could do for children. We love children. We value them. Now, I say this because it's important, particularly for younger generations, because to try and get your head of an idea, to conceive of an idea where children aren't particularly valued. Or you might think of the sort of Victorians, you know, children should be seen and not heard, and preferably not seen. You know, that sort of kind of thinking, well, in ancient culture, children weren't particularly valued. And that's the context in which we find ourselves in Luke 18. Now, Luke's account of Jesus, at this point, we've been told that Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem. And as he goes to Jerusalem, he knows that he will suffer, be rejected and die before being raised again. But on that journey from Jerusalem all the way through, to Jerusalem, Luke takes us on a journey with Jesus that we might learn what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus in the kingdom. So wherever Jesus goes on this journey, he teaches his disciples and the crowds who are with him. And as he goes on this journey, he has these interruptions. And these interruptions, people that he meets, well, they're not just interruptions hindering him from getting to Jerusalem quicker. They're opportunities for his disciples and us too to learn. And here we have an interruption, verse 15. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. Well, it's one of those quiet, ongoing debates that suddenly rears its ugly head. On one hand, we have the parents. The parents who are bringing their children to Jesus, they want him to touch him. That is, they want him to bless them and to pray for him, pray for them. That's what they're wanting of Jesus. On the other side, though, the disciples, they're trying to prevent the parents from bringing their children. In fact, they'll give them a telling off for doing so. What's going on? Well, it is a debate about the value and the importance of children. And of course, to these parents, they want the best for their children, for their babies. So they bring them to Jesus because they've recognized something in Jesus. And so they want him to bless them. The disciples, though, they see the situation very differently. They see Jesus who's too busy, too hard-pressed, too important. And therefore, these children, don't they realize that Jesus hasn't got time for them? Don't they realize that Jesus is far too important to be bothered by these children? Well, you can imagine the disciples quietly muttering about this as it goes on. You know, how many more snivelling little children are going to be thrust in Jesus' face before he realises we've got more important things to do with our time? Well, babies, they're not good for our optics, are they? No. Look, if we're going to build this movement, well, we need to be seen associating with the influential, the important. Well, Jesus has got something to say. And Jesus, verse 16 and 17, he packs a lot into these couple of verses. He says to them, but Jesus called the children to him and said, and I assume he says this to everyone, but especially to his disciples. He says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Well, do you see, there are two important lessons that Jesus wants to teach his disciples through this, of what it means to belong to the kingdom and how we enter it. Well, firstly, the first lesson, belonging to the kingdom, and we see this, that the kingdom of God welcomes all. The kingdom of God welcomes all, verse 16. Jesus says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Now, if you remember back in chapter 17, the Pharisees didn't see Jesus as God's king, even though he was stood right in front of them. They didn't see him as God's king. Why not? Because he didn't fit their expectations as God's king. He wasn't glorious enough. He wasn't impressive enough. He didn't display power in the way that they thought that God's king should and would. So they didn't see him, even though he was right in front of them. They dismissed him. But here in chapter 18, we see the disciples making almost the opposite mistake. They think that these babies aren't impressive enough or important enough for Jesus to devote any time to. Jesus is too important to devote attention to them, so they try to hinder them from coming to him. Now look, as we've seen in Luke's gospel, the kingdom of God doesn't come to the rich or the powerful, the good or religious. It's ever so challenging. The kingdom of God comes to the powerless, the poor, the destitute and the weak. Jesus made this point last week. The good religious man was rejected. But the sinner, the irreligious man, who called out for mercy, he went home justified. Well, what does Jesus teach us through this? Well, it's not that, you know, that the religious, the powerful, the rich are excluded by default from the kingdom of God because of their power, influence, riches. No, nor is it that the poor, the weak, or the helpless are automatically included. No, Jesus is turning our expectations on its head. That the people who we would never expect to find included are in. And those people we expect to be in, we find out. And the disciples have just got that wrong again. They assumed that the children, being insignificant, not yet to maturity, well, they're obviously out. So therefore, why should we treat them as though they're in? But Jesus commands that the children come to him and not hinder, because he wants to teach them not just that they're a picture of how we receive, how we enter the kingdom of God, he'll come to that, but because children are precious to God. We can't miss that obvious point here. But we might have all sorts of questions about what's going on here, about these parents who are treating Jesus like a dispenser of blessing. Jesus is happy to be that, by the way. It's quite striking. Or we might have questions about the whiff of superstition that's going on here with these parents. Or we might be bothered by the parents who bring their children to Jesus but hold back themselves. Jesus doesn't challenge that. It's quite interesting. He challenges the disciples. He throws his arms open to these children. And we must have missed this. Children are precious in God's sight. And so they should be to us and to the church. So look, you know, if you're pouring out energy and time and loving care into children, into the teaching of children, both at home and in this church, then be encouraged, because you're bang on with God's priorities. Please don't miss this. Parents in lockdown, what we prioritise just reveals what's important to us. What are we teaching is most important to our children. You know, I realise as a parent that actually trying to keep bringing our children to God's word and encouraging them in that is just a hard battle. It's a hard battle, and there are days when we lose spectacularly. But of course, I don't give up on that struggle, because, well, what's most important to me is that as a parent, I bring my children to Jesus. That's one of the most important things I can do for them as children, to bring them to Jesus. So if you're struggling with that, keep going. If you give up, you've lost the battle, and you show to your children that actually, other things are more important to me. I realise it's hard. It is hard because sometimes it's just hard enough to be able to kind of, you know, we've got to homeschool our kids and we've got to get the house tidy, that unending task of dealing with the washing up, all those things that press upon us. We're bringing our children to Jesus. And for us as a church family, you know, it's so important, isn't it, that we keep on welcoming and delighting in having children amongst us. Our attitude speaks volumes, doesn't it, as a church? It's more important than our practice. Look, I meet too many Christians who do treat little children in church as an irritant who we're waiting to grow up to maturity. And Jesus, is that his attitude? No. But it's more than just children, isn't it? I mean, one thing that surely Jesus is teaching us here is it's not just children, that every person, even the youngest, is valuable to God. And therefore, there's a real warning here, isn't there, that we don't hinder people from coming to Jesus, whether they're children or not. And there are all sorts of ways we can hinder people from coming to Jesus by again, thoughtless words or cultural expectations, our own prejudices, our assumptions about what we expect of people. All sorts of things can hinder them. Are you tempted to think that some people are more worth reaching than other people? Of course we wouldn't do that. Of course we wouldn't. No. Really? Really? Yeah, I remember one extraordinary funny thing, but one person coming into church and someone signing up would say, it'd be great if they were converted. They play the drums. We could really do with them. But meanwhile, of course, then, you know, the lady at the back of church who hasn't got anything to offer, humanly speaking, well, the concern is that for them, look, very easily do we overlook people because of what we think of them. You know, we look at the gifted, the leaders, the influential types, and think, wouldn't it be great if they were part of our movement? Well, we value all, don't we? Including the needy, including the dependent, including the unimportant. And if we're doing that, then according to James 2, then we're breaking the whole law. When it comes to entry into the kingdom of God, says Jesus, all are welcome. All are welcome. None is more important than others. It was the French ethicist Pascal Emmanuel Gobry, who said, "Christianity's invention of children, that is, its invention of the cultural idea of children as treasured human beings, was really an outgrowth of Christianity's most stupendous and revolutionary idea." What was that? Well, it was the infinite value of every single human being. And that's what Jesus teaches us here today. All are welcomed and valued by children, however old or young they are. But an important clarification needs to be made at this point. Jesus welcomes all. None are to be hindered from coming to him, particularly children. But that doesn't mean to say that all are included in God's kingdom, which brings us to our second point, which is Jesus' primary point. Let me read again verse 16 and 17, where we see that the kingdom of God is a gift given, not earned. It's a gift given, not earned. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Now, that little phrase there could be understood in two different ways. It could simply mean that Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God belongs to these children. In other words, they are children. And therefore, because they are children, they're not excluded. They belong to them. And therefore, you're hindering people who belong to the kingdom. And therefore, by implication, Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God includes children. That is, that within the community of faith, children belong. I take it we can have all sorts of questions about that. But I take it that's why we don't call our children's work on a Sunday little pagans, because we don't believe that they are. The kingdom of God belongs to these. But that little phrase could also kind of mean that such as these, know that they're an example, a picture of those who have faith. Well, that's, of course, what he moves on to in verse 17. "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And so Jesus, you can just imagine him there with a child right, with his arms round or on his knee, or you know, they're gathered to him. Here's the child, and he says, "Look, this child, you've got to receive the kingdom like a child." What does that mean? Well, to receive the kingdom of God is to be a part of the kingdom of God, to be God's people, to be under his rule and blessing. And to be part of the kingdom of God is to possess the kingdom, and therefore it belongs to you. You belong to it, and it belongs to you. So how? How do you receive it? How do you enter into it? And Jesus says, like a little child. Well, what does that mean? Well, clearly, it doesn't mean that we've got to be like a child in every way to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are other parts of the Bible where we're told explicitly not to behave like little children. So what does Jesus mean? Well, someone said, "Oh, well, it means we need to be innocent like children." Which I want to say, well, if that's the case, then we're all stuffed, aren't we? Because none of us are innocent. And frankly, you clearly haven't spent much time with children lately if you think they're innocent too. Does it mean we've got to be naive? But you know, the Gospels don't teach us to be gullible or to suspend wisdom. So that just doesn't make sense to me. We're not told to be naive in that sense. Of course not. What does Jesus mean? Well, I think it's just simply this. It begins with the fact that these babies are brought to Jesus. What does that say? Well, it says that they're utterly dependent on their parents. We've seen this already, that the babies can't bring themselves because they're babies. They can't even feed themselves. They're utterly helpless and dependent on their children, on their parents. But you think about this, you know, that the simple trust of a little baby, of a young child, you know, when they go to sleep, they go to sleep trusting that when they wake up, that their parents are still going to be there. When a little child is given food, that they trust that food will satisfy their hunger and nourish them, and it won't poison them. look, you might have a battle about broccoli and Brussels sprouts. I realise that, but the simple trust is there, isn't it? Or when they're given medicine, a child trusts their parent that this medicine will make them well. It's for their good. They're exercising this trust all the time. And that's Jesus' point, isn't it? That they actually, when it comes to the kingdom, being dependent on someone else is an essential quality. In fact, if we're not dependent on Jesus, then we're out. We're excluded. Now, look, we value today independence. I think one of the things that people have most struggled in lockdown is this fact that their independence has been curtailed. We can't do what we want when we want. We can't go out as we please. We can't go where we want as we please. And that thread has been hard because we so value it. But here Jesus is teaching us, saying, look, if you want to be part of God's kingdom, then you've got to realize that you can't be self-dependent. You need to trust someone else, not yourself, but Jesus. Of course, it's exactly what the tax collector had to learn, and we saw that last week, wasn't it? His trust in the Lord Jesus, his empty hands, he realized he had nothing that he could bring, nothing that he could offer. He beat his breast and he cried out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And of course, children, they're no different, aren't they? You think of a young child's kind of list of all the things that they could bring to God's kingdom, their accomplishments, their achievements. Look what I've done in my religious practice. And of course, they can do none of that, because they're babies. And Jesus says, well, of course, that's what you bring, nothing, nothing. When you come with empty hands to the cross of Jesus, you receive the gift of forgiveness and acceptance. There's no other way into the kingdom of God, no other way. We receive it as a gift freely given, or we do not receive it at all. Again, you know, just we know this from just daily life. You think of it's Father's Day today, you know, your young child wraps up a present for you and gives it to you, and you open it and you go, "That's great. How much do I owe you?" It's just ridiculous. It's a gift, and therefore we have to learn that the kingdom is given to us as a gift, and there's no other way to receive it. Well, think of it another way. You know, a newborn baby is brought home at wonderful occasion when everyone's smiling, but parents think you're going, oh, I can't believe we're by ourselves. We've been left by ourselves with a small child. Oh, good grief. But anyway, the child kind of survives wonderfully and it grows up in this house, in a house that it didn't choose and it certainly didn't buy. It's not paying rent or a mortgage. No, it lives in the house, but as that child grows, it learns to be able to say, this is my home, it's mine, I live here. And of course, that's the privilege, isn't it, of growing up in a home. And just like the kingdom, it's given to us all the glories and the wonder of the kingdom of God. It's given to us and we can say, it is mine. Why? Because it is a gift given to me. And just as we receive the kingdom, of course, we receive the King. The King who I think exemplifies this wonderful childlike trust and dependence. Turn back with me to Psalm 131. It speaks of this childlike humility. Just as a contented child no longer is crying for his or her mother, here we have a picture of the dependent trust of the soul who has been weaned from arrogant ambition. He says, my heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with the great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quietened my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Now, I did read this week and just thinking a little bit kind of like, well, that's great for you, David, King David, that is. That's great for you, isn't it? You know, it's a bit like that book, you know, True Humility and How I Achieved It. Have you read that? Yeah. Anyway, you know, it is David, but of course, I think David's got a lot to teach us about humility and how he learned it by God's gracious hand. However, of course, David is speaking here as God's king. And of course, it therefore points us to the great king, the king of the kingdom, of the Lord Jesus Christ, the king who was truly powerful and yet gloriously humble. The one whose road to glory was through the cross of suffering and death. His eternal reign came about through him humbling himself even to death. He went to the cross, he paid for sin, he paid for it with his own blood, he bought us with his blood, and he adopts us into his family, and he gives us his spirit, and it brings us and secures us in his kingdom, even when we were dead in our sins, helpless because of it. But that's precisely the point, isn't it? Yeah, the one who humbled himself to bring us into his kingdom through his blood is the one who helps us to see that we are to realize our dependence and help on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we have entered the kingdom of God, then we belong to God forever. We live under the powerful and loving rule of Jesus, our King, and we're his children. And his Father is our Father, as we wait for that eternal kingdom to be established forever and ever, where there'll be no sin, no Satan, no suffering, no death. So if that's the case, then doesn't Psalm 131 verse 3 need to be our daily cry? He writes, Israel, put your hope in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. We keep daily living by this wonderful hope. Why? Because that hope helps us to keep our dependence on Jesus. And we walk in humility day by day. That's how we keep going. That's why Jesus takes this child and says, this is how you receive the kingdom of God, because we need to keep reminding ourselves to walk humbly with him. A gift given, not earned. So Jesus teaches us from these children that God welcomes all into his kingdom. He welcomes all. Don't hinder those who are coming to Christ. Don't hinder them. And the kingdom of God is a gift, not earned. So put your hope in Christ as you trust him, as you walk humbly with him and depend on him each and every day. And as we do so, we all know the delight and joy of being part of his people in his kingdom. Well, let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for the gift of children. We thank you for the joy of children in our families and in our church family. And Father, we pray that we would be those people who remember and delight that you welcome all. So please would we include those whom you include and not exclude those you're including. Father, we pray, Father, you would help us to look beyond our prejudices and our view of people. Help us to see people as you see people. And Father, we thank you that the kingdom of God is a gift and it's not earned. Forgive us when we think that our qualifications for your kingdom is what matter. Help us, like children, to put our dependence entirely on you, that we might walk humbly as we put our hope in Christ, our dependence on him. And we ask this, we do this each and every day for the glory of your name. Amen.